Ezekiel chapter 11. A new spirit within, Ezekiel speaks to us. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faced eastward. And behold, there were 25 men at the entrance of the gate. And among them I saw Jazaniah, son of Azur, and Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, leaders of the people. He said to me, "Son of man, these are the men who devise iniquity and give evil advice in this city, who say, 'Is not the time near to build houses? This city is the pot, and we are the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, son of man, prophesy.' Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and he said to me, 'Say, thus says the Lord, so you think, house of Israel, for I know your thoughts. You have multiplied your slain in this city, filling its streets with them. Therefore thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in the midst of the city are the flesh, and this city is the pot, but I will bring you out of it. You have feared a sword, so I will bring a sword upon you, the Lord God declares, and I will bring you out of the midst of the city and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments against you. You will fall by the sword. I will judge you to the border of Israel, so you shall know that I am the Lord. This city will not be a pot for you, nor will you be flesh in the midst of it, but I will judge you to the border of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but have acted according to the ordinances of the nations around you. Now it came about, as I prophesied, that Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, died. Then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Alas, Lord God, will you bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end?' Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them are those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, "Go far from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession." Therefore say, "Thus says the Lord God, though I had removed them far away among the nations, and though I had scattered them among the countries, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries where they had gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it, and I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people, and I shall be their God. But as for those whose hearts go after detestable things and abominations, I will bring their conduct down on their heads, declares the Lord God. Then the cherubim lifted up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. The glory of the God, the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood over the mountain, which is east of the city. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God to the exiles in Chaldea. So the vision that I had seen left me. Then I told the exiles all the things that the Lord had shown me." We are making our way along in Ezekiel's prophecy, and we come to this portion where the glory of the God of Israel, which in such dramatic fashion had come to rest upon the temple in Jerusalem in Solomon's day, in such a manner that the people, that the priests were not able to stand for the presence of the God of Israel was so there that the people were not able to move about. Well, now it is that the glory is lifting, slowly lifting, And Ezekiel is taken from hundreds of miles away in a vision, and he is brought to the temple there in Jerusalem that he might witness this tragic event, this event that God had foretold, that he had forewarned the people about, but certainly it is happening. And yet God is holding out to these very people a message of hope. He is holding out to them a message of restoration. We have been making our way through heavy ground, and we have been making our way through difficult chapters and verses. Verses which speak of slaughter. Verses which speak of the heavy hand of God coming down upon his people, where there is essentially no hope held out for them. But even as the other gospel writers of the Old Testament, even as we hear from Isaiah, how that he speaks sternly and then he also holds out offer of hope and of restoration to the people. Even as Jeremiah, in like manner, who lived at the very same time here as Ezekiel, he speaks to the people in stern words and he weeps over what is certainly coming, but then to offer to the people a message of hope. Ezekiel, in like manner, is shown that God is at work among his people, and judge them he most certainly will, but God will not forget his people, and he will not forget his promises. And on this Pentecost Sunday, when we remember what took place in the early church 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, and we consider how that the Holy Spirit came to work within those waiting 120, we are taken back deep into the Old Testament here, 600 years nearly before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And here we consider how that the Spirit of the Lord is talking about doing a marvelous thing, working within hearts so that there is a new spirit that is developed out of hearts that were hard, stony, unpliable. I mentioned that Jeremiah was a prophet who worked and ministered at the very same time as Ezekiel, but each of them in a different sphere. Ezekiel was ministering among the exiles, those who had been sent in sort of the first waves off of the land of Israel. Jeremiah, he was there in Jerusalem right to the very bitter end, and then among a few that were desperately seeking escape, he was taken as prisoner down into Egypt. But here, what Jeremiah says, in perfect resonance with what Ezekiel is also speaking. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 26, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I am about to give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will take it." But Jeremiah also knew the mercy of God. Though he would judge the people sternly, though he was concerned about what the people were doing, we read in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time, while he was still confined in the court of the guard, saying, Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are broken down to make a defense against the siege ramps and against the sword." Later in the same chapter, verse 14, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And he speaks of the king who will reign for all eternity. Well, these are the settings, and these are the days in which we find ourselves. And the Spirit of God catches up Ezekiel, and he transports him to view all of these things that are taking place, and that the glory of God is lifting off of the temple, that judgment in full effect might come. But here Ezekiel is brought, after having been shown a variety of things in Jerusalem and in the courts of the temple especially, he is taken to the Lord's house, and there are leaders who are especially named, and the focus is upon these 25 men at the entrance of the gate. God speaks to Ezekiel, and he speaks to him about the iniquity of the city and of the leadership that are there. He lets us in on sort of the rabble and the scuttlebutt, the gossip which is taking place. You see, the people in Jerusalem were saying, you know what, those people who have already gone into exile, they are the off-scouring. They are the ones who God doesn't care about. He is sending them off. He cares about us, and we are the ones who are going to gain the most in this situation. Those people are off the scene, and now it's our time. In verse 4, Ezekiel is told to do something in response. He's not told to pray or to fast, though those are good and right things to do. He is not told to counsel. He is not told to chide with these people. He is told to preach. God says, therefore, as a result of what these people are doing, Ezekiel, you are to stand up and to preach to them. Preach, man! Most of us, if we know nothing else about Ezekiel's prophecy, we know about what took place in Ezekiel chapter 37. And we will come in time to the Valley of Dry Bones, where the hand of the Lord takes Ezekiel and he brings him to a certain spot in Israel. And there's all these bones everywhere, scattered, dry and dusty on the surface of the land. And what is Ezekiel told to do? In verse 4 also of Ezekiel chapter 37, again he said to me, prophesy. Now, usually when we hear the word prophesy, we think of prophecy and we think of predictions which relate to the future, either the immediate future or somewhere down the line, whether it be hundreds or thousands of years along. But the word prophesy has this double meaning. It is both the proclamation of truth to those in the immediate present, as well as the preaching and the prediction of what would take place 10, 20, 100,000 years along or more along the way. And so when you hear these words, what Ezekiel is to do over these bones, he is to preach to them. He is to preach life to them. Interesting that the Spirit of God puts such a value, such a priority upon the preaching of God's word. Here in Ezekiel 11 and verse 4, to these who cared nothing for the ways of God, to those who thought that they were it, to those who thought that they were in on all of the goodies, Ezekiel, he is to stand and he is to preach to them. He is to preach of their wickedness. He is to declare their thoughts to them right in their face. Verse 5, then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and he said to me, say, this is what you are to preach. You think, house of Israel, because I know your thoughts. That's a good thing for each and every one of us to know, is that God is omniscient. He knows all things. He doesn't just know what is being said, but he knows what is thought before the words are uttered. He knows with perfect clarity. You have multiplied your slain in this city, filling its streets with them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, the slain whom you have laid in the midst of the city are the flesh, and this city is the pot, but I am going to bring you out. You feared a sword? A sword is going to come upon you, the Lord declares. I will bring you out of the midst of the city and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments on you. This is what the sermon went like there so many years ago. Not very encouraging. You will fall by the sword. I will judge you to the border of Israel. God's hand would not be short. You will know that I am the Lord. Now in verse 13, some people, I hear this all the time, they say, you know, the modern church needs to do something different. People in this contemporary world are not prepared to hear preaching. They are not about to sit and to listen to sermons which are heavy-handed, which are heavy-hearted, which weigh them down, which bring before them things that are not pleasant. Well, it was no different in Paul's time. But Paul, as he takes us in the book of Romans, he starts off with how that we are lost in our trespasses and sins. How that there's no hope for us aside from Christ. And only once he unfolds for us how that we are utterly depraved, then he shows us the way to Christ, and he shows us that we are saved by grace through faith, and he brings us up out of that horrible pit that we have dug for ourselves. But here, in like manner, the prophets, they bring us to the very depth of our need. They show us how desperate the situation is, and then they hold forth for us the glory of God's solution in Christ and how that he has acted. Once again, so many people in today's world and in the past have said, preaching, it is without effect. But see what happens. In that valley in Ezekiel 37, when Ezekiel starts to preach to those bones, it says there was a rattling and there was a coming together. There was a power in the proclaimed word of God. Whether people like it or whether they despise it, there is a power that God sends through his word as it is simply and faithfully and honestly proclaimed, whether people hear it or not. This is what Ezekiel was told at the outset of his ministry. He said, Ezekiel, preach the word, send it forth, let people hear it, lift up your voice. Well, that's what he did in the valley of dry bones, and he saw something so amazing that it continues to amaze people today. But here in Ezekiel chapter 11, once again, we have a witness to the power of preaching when it is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here, Ezekiel obediently does what he is told to do. And in verse 13, now it came about as I prophesied, as I started to preach to them, as I started to sound forth, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Don't tell me that there's not a power in the proclamation of God's word, in the preaching of God's truth. Here was a man who keeled over right in the midst of Ezekiel's sermon. And Ezekiel was startled by this. He was actually horrified by it. He fell on his face and cried out with a loud voice, somewhat similar to when in Ezekiel 9, the slayers were sent out into the midst of Jerusalem. to slay everyone who did not have that mark on their forehead. Here, Ezekiel, he falls on his face and he cries out with a loud voice, "Alas, Lord God, will you bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end?" Question mark. The power of God's word, the power of it being sounded forth, it is life and it is death. It's more than just Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday evening custom. There is a power in the preaching of God's word for life and for death. Now, Ezekiel asks a question here, and God hears it and God answers it. The word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel, and he says, "Ezekiel, it's bad. It's very bad. You're wondering if I'm going to bring an end to the whole nation of Israel, the whole remnant, those who are left. Here's what I am going to do. Those who care nothing for my name, those who think that I am going to pass over their sin, those who care nothing for honoring me, those who say of those people who have gone into exile already, don't worry about them, they're goners. God says, I am going to do something that are going to make people sit up and pay attention. Just like when I went down into Egypt and I brought to myself a people for my name, though I scatter these descendants to the four corners of the earth, I will once again arise and show that my power is unparalleled." There in Jeremiah, what I just read for you a few moments ago, Jeremiah chapter 32, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for me?" At first it was said in terms of, can I bring a power against Jerusalem that will defeat it? Yes, he can. But can God also cause restoration? And God says, even though I remove them among the nations and scatter them among the countries, yet I am going to be a protection for them. I am going to be a sanctuary for them. And then I will gather them and I will bring them back. And even the detestable things will not allure them. Verse 19, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take that heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, and they will walk with me. They will honor me and do that which pleases me." All of this is as the Spirit of God, as the presence of God is lifting slowly up out of that glorious temple, away from Jerusalem and hovering over the mountain which was just east of the city. And Ezekiel sees these things. It happened. It happened exactly as God said it would in Ezekiel's time. And then subsequently, God brings the people back into the land as he promised, and the work of that new spirit within has continued on and on. That work of God's Spirit continues today. God desires not a heart of stone, not a heart that is hard and impenetrable to his word, but a heart that eagerly responds and says, "Oh, I want to hear that. I want more of that. I want to just drink it in, take it in eagerly, gladly." Do you have that kind of heart? Jesus came to die on Calvary's cross that there might be a new kind of people, a blood-bought people, a people for his own name. And here, hundreds of years before it happened, Ezekiel is looking to that day when great things will happen. As you come before the Lord, as you turn from your own ways and turn from your own endeavors, when you look to Him and to Him alone, this is the offer that He makes to you. Will you receive it even today? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks that it does speak very sternly. It doesn't dress up that which is horrible. It doesn't make light of that which is detestable. Lord, it speaks to us, and it speaks with stern warning. But it also comes to us, and it offers hope. It offers restoration. It offers a view of the future which is beautiful, a new spirit that dwells within. Lord, I pray that there would be men and women here today who would say, oh, I want that. I've been hard-hearted. I've been stiff-necked, just like the people that are described in the Old Testament. I've gone my own way, and I've sought my own endeavors, and I've sought to build my own empire, but I want God's way. I've had enough of myself, and I want God to work within. Lord, I pray that men and women here today, they realize who they are. They realize that there is no peace and no inner joy except through your plan. I pray that they would come to the cross and that they would there repent and turn full face to you. And I pray that you would place within them a new spirit, a heart of flesh, a heart in which you can work and a heart that you can mold. May their lives become something beautiful under your hand and under your control. So, Lord, work among us and be honored, exalted, and glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.